whatever you got. I'm going to begin this morning dealing with the importance of developing a grace lifestyle, something the church have not known. God love us so much. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The importance of developing a grace lifestyle. It's little known. The grace lifestyle is little known because we've been trying to live by the law, been trying to figure out how much we love God, but we have not understood how much God loves us. And so I'm going to read, if you want to turn your Bible to Ephesians 2, I'm going to read three or four verses out of the Amplified Bible to establish this grace lifestyle that we can have. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading at the sixth verse and in the Amplified Bible. So we can get Amplified Bible means just what it says. It amplifies the word. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit together, giving us joint seating with him. Amen. Giving us joint seating with him. Now, I want you to listen to this now. In the heavenly sphere, by virtue of our being in Christ, Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one. Verse 7 goes on to say, and I want you to watch what he called, how he deal with grace here. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace. It says unearned, unmerited, is God releasing his favor on your life. His unmerited favor. In his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. Now I'm at verse 8. For it is by free grace. Everybody say free grace. Free grace. Can't purchase it, can't earn it, can't buy it. He give it to you. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved. Watch the next statement now. Delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourself, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So when what do I have to do to come to grip with this overwhelming love that God has for me in spite of my shortcoming? And how can I walk this grace life out? How can I turn this ship around? You know, you've been going that way for a long time. What I can do. But it's what he has done. And his what he has done covers what you do. It make what you do come out all right. So the first thing the Lord said to me, we must stop this identity crisis. Because you are the righteousness of God. His voice was revealing to us our identity. It's by the grace of God, what God done for us, his unmeasurable grace. And the church have dealt with for so long an identity crisis because you can't find your identity in the law. Your identity is not in the Ten Commandments. Your identity is in Christ Jesus and the grace and the love the Father has bestowed on us in Christ. So if you have an identity crisis, you're not going to know who you are when you need to know who you are. Now let me finish the statement. We must stop this identity crisis because, watch this now, you are the righteousness of God. You cannot lose that righteousness identity no matter what come up in your life. You got to recognize that I can't become unrighteous. I'm still the righteousness of God. Understand the righteousness of God is one of your powers. It's a power of deliverance. It's a power of victory. It's a power of already done. I'm already the righteousness of God. It doesn't matter how many prayers I pray and how many scriptures I read, how many confessions I make. All of that is good, but I'm already the righteousness of God. And so this identity crisis got to stop. And by knowing who you are in Christ. Wave at me. By knowing who you are in Christ will stop this identity crisis, and you will know that you're righteous forever. What? I'm in right standing with God. I have a right to my inheritance. I have a right to every blessing this Bible talk about. Right now. See, law and tradition and religion and rituals took the church out of her identity. And so it's our job, by the grace of God, to bring the body of Christ and the believers back into their identity. And to understand your identity, you've got to understand how to function. That's my next point. I want to get this point because we stop this identity crisis. Y'all going to stop hurting and stop losing and stop wondering how it's going to come out. I don't care what it was. Well, I don't care what it is. According to the Bible, it's going to come out to your good. What? If you do not lose your identity. See, Satan create crisis. Circumstances, situations, for you to forget or lose concept or understanding or grips on your identity that I'm in Christ. The next thing, if you're going to develop a grace lifestyle and stay in your position properly by functioning in grace, stay in your position properly by functioning in grace. In other words, maintaining your stability in life in grace. What grace mean? Unmerited, it's already done. God loved me, I'm already saved. I'm in the kingdom. I'm a child of God. I'm blessed going in and coming out. My circumstances don't change who I am. I change who my circumstances are. Stability. Functioning properly. Problem, nobody can nowhere preach to you, you're not going to have no problem. But you have to know in the grace lifestyle, beyond the law, how to function properly within God's goodness. The Lord is good. Y'all know that, right? How many of y'all know the Lord is good? Say it, the Lord is good. We got to stop skipping goodness for badness. God meant nothing bad for you. God meant for you to walk in his goodness. That's why the psalmist said, look what the psalmist said, surely trouble and hardship will follow me all the days of my life. No, it's surely what? What did he say? Goodness. Well, won't you stop and let it catch up with you? Stop complaining. Stop worrying. Stop being in fear. The Lord promised you that his goodness and his mercy will finally catch up with you. That's why he sent them behind you. Sometime, crochet. Sometime your kid get to age, you know they got to go, but you send a chaperone and tell a chaperone stay in camouflage. Don't let them know. Don't let them know. I'll make them think they're out there by themselves. Because I want them to learn how to function by themselves. But I want you to be there as a chaperone if they step in something they can't handle. I want you to come out and then show them how to do this or protect them. Or somebody try to misuse them. I want you to come out then, you see. I don't want them to go out there by themselves because they've never been out there by themselves before. That's why the Lord says, surely. Goodness and mercy is your camouflage person who's watching over you. You mean to tell me, a pastor, that goodness and mercy follow me all the time? And I went through all that hell and worry, and all I had to do was stand still and let goodness and mercy put their hand on me. But that identity crisis, not knowing your place in grace, trying to do it yourself. Hello? So did you write down, man standing your stability in grace? Let me hear you. All right, now, here's some of the problem that we have not developed this life. Here's some of the problem. Erroneous teaching of the law. You do this. You don't do this. Stop doing that. You do this. You ain't got time to hear nothing else. Don't do this. I'm scared. Don't move. Erroneous teaching of the law has produced, listen, failure, condemnation, and struggle. The church full of it. I said the church full of it. Good Christian family full of condemnation, full of struggle, full of trouble, because they lost their identity in the unearned, unmerited favor of God. Now, when one learns, see, I'm listening. When one learns how to develop a grace lifestyle, I wrote a word down for you. And it's almost going to be kind of hard for you to believe this. But you got to use faith now. I mean, you can't sit there mentally and go with me now. You got to have your faith working. You can't fail now. That's what it means. It comes to that point. It comes to the point that in church, you say that in church. What? You can't fail now. Once you come to the lifestyle of grace and know how to walk in the grace that the Lord had provided for you through the finished work of Christ, because Christ said, it is finished. How many know God know your future? All right, it's finished. So you can't fail now. And there's a saying, what you don't know will not hurt you. What you don't know will hurt you. Here's a point here. When you're trying to love God, when you try to love God and not understand how much God loves you, backwards, you see, it's backwards because we're trying, you know, the Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your might. You can't do that. You can't do that. Because you got your mind on something else sometimes. You can say it, but you ain't really loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your might. That was part of the law. But look at Romans 5:5. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Look at Romans 5:5. May I help you? Just let me help you. Look at Romans 5:5. Let me get my Bible. I got some notes in my Bible anyway. Let me get Romans 5:5. See, what you're doing is you're trying to do what only God can do through you. See, if you're going to love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, it has to be God producing that through you. You can't read enough scripture for that to happen. Notice that in hope making not ashamed, Romans 5:5. Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. I want you to holler out as loud as you can. I'm forgiven!
I'm forgiven!
Why? Not because of my special goodness, but because of what Jesus done for me. You got to stay in a forgiven position. If you mess up, don't stay there. just say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God loved me. I'm already forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. So what are we developing? What are we developing in the service this morning? Thank you, sir. A grave lifestyle. I said, I need y'all keeping up now. I don't need y'all sitting here thinking we're going down the same road. Because you have to develop this, because you have not developed a grace lifestyle, because we have been too condemned, too much judgment, too much anger, too much punishment, too much fear. Now, let me give you something, and I'm studying so hard now and learning so many things and praying, and so some things just come up while I'm talking. And I'll give it to you when it come up, all right? You know the Bible talks about the fear of God? You know what the fear of God is? Thank you, sir. There you go. Got it? Worship. You got that? The fear of God. So if you're not worshiping God, you're not fearing him. See, it's a reverential respect. The fear of God, a reverential respect, is not a scary fear. It's a loving fear. All right. Let's go a little further now. And I'll get to some scripture in a few minutes. Now, the reason it's so important for us to develop this grace lifestyle, this reason is so important because so many of God's children are messed up in life. Just messed up. How? By not knowing the truth about grace. They messed up, they condemned, they made a mistake, they condemned. Something happened 15 years ago. Let me read this to you like it is, like the Holy Spirit had me to write it. Now, the reason this is so, the reason what's so important, that we know the fullness of God's love. Well, Let me go back. I said, what you do not know will hurt you, right? And I said, when you try to love God and not understand how much God loves you, you're not going to be able to comprehend it, right? So I wrote a footnote. Come to the point. To know the fullness of God's love for you. It's beyond anything you have done. It's beyond any trick Satan has pulled on you. It's beyond any mistake or any failure you have done in your life. When you know the fullness of God's love, in one of my devotions I read this morning, when you know the fullness of God's love, God's fullness become available to you. You heard me? When you know the fullness of God's love, you want me to show that to you? Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to show you how to do this. I'm going to show you how to always know the fullness of God's love. You want to know the fullness of God's love? Yes, see now, when you know the fullness of God's love, God's full potential become available to you. Good God Almighty. Write that down. When you know the fullness of God's love towards you, God's full potential become available to you. Now, when you talk about God's full potential, you know what you're talking about? Wait a minute, church. When we talk about the full potential of God, in other words, when we talk about all that God can do. No, y'all ain't getting me. See, this thing, I'm about to tell you how to have in your life all that God can do.
Yes, sir.
This is powerful, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I'm going to show you from the rest of your days, every day of your life, to have God's full potential in your life. How many want it? I mean, I don't want to waste no time. To show you the full potential of God, how to invoke the full potential of God in your life perpetual. No matter what you're going through, you will know how to get God, watch this now, I'm about to say another word, full participation. Gene, you heard that? You'll know how to get God full participation in whatever you're dealing with, and God can't fail. If I can get his full potential, and he can't fail, what that mean? Talk to me. I said, Pastor, I'm going to be talking about all this now and don't show us how to do it. Now you're just talking. No, I'm going to show you, but I'm going to work with you before I show you. Because I want you to know how powerful this is. I mean, I didn't come on the floor with this. God told me this on the floor. He said, I want my children. You're teaching them about a grace lifestyle. Well, in a grace lifestyle, they should know how to pull from my full potential in any given situation, any day, any hour, any night, or anywhere. Once you learn this, you're home. How many of y'all like to know God's full potential? How to invoke God's full potential? Now, listen, children, even when you made a mistake. Somebody just made you mad and you cussed. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I just read this morning. I said, my God, in my devotion, and I didn't know the Lord wanted me to use this today, but it's something because he told me more than I read. I read it, but he how to invoke God's full potential. And there's a verse here. I don't know. I might lose y'all here now. Because there's a voice here, I'll go along with this. It's going to show you how to activate that voice. Uh-huh. You know, the scripture has to be activated. All right. You in Ephesians, huh? All right. Chapter 3. Oh, my goodness. I don't begin reading at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, watch now. By reading some things, we're going to get down to the point where you know how to invoke the fullness of God in your life. You hear me, Deidre? In every situation, you know that, girl. You're gone. You're bad. I mean, you know that. All right, so watch me now. Verse 16. You with me? Everybody at verse 16? That he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory, to what? Where all this taking place at? In the inner man. That's in the spirit, all right? It's the spirit, right? All right, now watch. Oh, man. That Christ, verse 17, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being now, we're learning a lifestyle of grace, right? How to live a lifestyle of grace now. Well, you know, grace runs with righteousness. Grace, the cluster. Grace run with righteousness. Grace run with mercy. Grace run with love. Grace run with forgiveness. All of them work together, you see. See, when you learn how to orchestrate your life in grace, love, stand up. Yes. When you know how to orchestrate your life in grace, forgiveness, stand up. You see that? When you learn how to orchestrate your life in grace, mercy, stand up. They all run together. Matter of fact, when you learn how to orchestrate your life in grace, guess who else stand up? Victory. All of the ability of the cross. Stand up when you know how to orchestrate your life in grace. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm not planning on losing no more battles. It might take a little while, but I'm gonna hold fast to my confidence of faith without wavering, for I know he is faithful, that promise. All right, well, I stopped at 16th verse. 17 now. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able, watch this now, this is so vast. I said this is so vast. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height. Now, boy, you talking about God here. Now, look at verse 19. You got your shouting clothes? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Wait a minute now. What filled you with the fullness? Let me read it again. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Love fills you with the fullness of God. Amen? Huh? So when you understand, let God love function in you properly, you get filled with the fullness of God. If that's so, look at verse 20. Now you can walk in verse 20 every day. If you understand that to let him strengthen you in your inner man, if you understand to let him teach you about his love and fill you with his love and understand that love passes knowledge, love past your mistake, love past that trap Satan set for you, love past your weakness, love past all that up, and then you get full of God. God love me. This I know, for the Bible tell me so. Then when you understand the fullness of God's love, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. See, you can't get to Ephesians 20 until you understand how much God loves you. Until you're strengthened in your inner man. Until you know the love of Christ, which pass all knowledge and pass all understanding. And the Holy Spirit is pumping it in you. And as the Holy Spirit pumped that love in you, you come to a point now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that I ask and think, because of the power that works in me. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. I'm not condemned. I'm not punished. I'm not walking in shame. Jesus took my shame. Jesus took my mistake. Now, you've come to church this morning. Find how to walk in grace, walk in the fullness of God's love, and now God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. See, you see it? You see it? You ain't seen it? What a privilege. Come on, I see this. How many of y'all see this? I see this now. Now, I know how to activate, listen to me, I know how to activate Ephesians 3:20. Yes. Thank you, Lord. So quite natural this world not going to understand me. I live above this world. I live above Satan. I live above doubt, fear, and unbelief. I know that God loved me. It's not how much I love him, it's how much he loved me. Hit three people high five and tell them, God love me. Don't let the devil rob you of your blessing. Glory, 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 glory. Now, here's why so many of God's children mess up. They join the church to get saved. They make mistakes. They come to the church and give them a bunch of do's and don't. I'm guilty too. Some of my old teaching is not right. A bunch of do's and don't, and not tell them that God has forgiven them and that God loved them and that it's not over. Because you may have some habit in your life today. You may have something you can't control. It's not over.
Oh my God.
And you need to have a good church you can get into.
Yes, sir.
That they'll keep teaching you, keep loving you.
Yes, sir.
Keep telling you you're gonna make it.
Yes, sir. Oh my God.
That's grace, you see.
Yes, it is.
That's great.
Yes, it is.
That's what God didn't expect his children to live by the Ten Commandments. No. You can't live by the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are just a school. It's just a schoolmaster. It's just to show you it was wrong. The Ten Commandments couldn't straighten nothing out. But Jesus did.
My.
You can't walk by faith in condemnation. You can't walk by faith in unforgiveness.
Come on, Pastor.
You can't walk by faith being punished, thanking God out against you to get you. You can't. No, you got to know God love you.
Yes.
What?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
My,
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You understand the love of God? The love of God is bigger than your mistakes.
Yes, sir.
He's bigger than your shortcomings. If you keep sitting around God, you're finally going to win.
Yes, sir.
You follow me, Mom? Yeah, God love me. See them things he try to hold on, Satan try to hold on you and swing them before you. Next time he swings something before you, tell him, by the blood of Jesus, I'm delivered. Some demons will go back and have a meeting and say, that boy already know he delivered. All the mess he have done, he still know he delivered. Listen to what I'm reading to you here. Now, the reason this is so important that we learn this lifestyle is because so many of God's children are messed up in life. I didn't want messed up. Some of y'all sitting in here right now, messed up. You're messed up because you won't let yourself go. Messed up. And I want you to go free this morning. Some of you girls have made mistakes. Some of you young men have made mistakes. Don't get messed up. Keep listening to the word of God. And why did it happen? By not knowing the truth about his grace. Have a footnote. Here, I never heard this statement, sir, before in aspect because I didn't know enough myself to know this. But this word is knowing the power of God's grace. Write that down. Knowing the power of God's grace supersedes anything Satan bring up. Supersede any mistake that you have made in your life. No. That God is able. Well, y'all quiet. Y'all digging now. I got you now. Y'all quiet. Y'all thinking now. And by not knowing the power of God's grace, the Spirit of God said they are in fear. They are condemned. Caught in deceptive traps. They cannot get out of. Feeling unloved and left out. I'm going to read that again. I want y'all to listen. I want you to look to God. I want you to identify if that's you. That's why the Lord won't teach you this lifestyle of grace. Then we're going to go to some grace scriptures that are going to show you exactly what God meant when he said about grace, that it's unearned, it's unmerited, it's a favor from God. No, there's no excuse to sin because I'm against sin. But I find out that just telling people, God's people, what they have to do without telling them who they are and without telling them what Christ did for them on Calvary, that it is finished, and that he said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpent and scorpion, and the power of the enemy shall do you no harm. And he said, neither give, Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. He's telling me I can stop the devil in my life. The devil have lost control of me this very day because I can walk in the fullness of God, and I know that God loved me, and I know God is not out to get me. This is serious business, man. The church been lollipying too long, man. And here God, in his mercy and his grace, have come to Darrell. And have come to say, tell my children I'm not holding nothing against them. Tell them there's a breakthrough standing on their front porch. Goodness, man. Where we been, man? Hurting and painful and sorrowful and wondering, worrying, where we been? Just because you made a mistake. Jesus specializes in mistakes. He's a mistake fixer. When you don't know the power of God's grace, when you don't know how to live the greatest life, you'll be in fear. They're condemned. Listen to this one. Caught in deceptive traps they cannot get out of. Feeling unloved and left out. And I wrote as a footnote, turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I wrote as a footnote, and I'm going to tell you the original Greek that some words was added. That was some word was added. I'm going to tell you the original Greek writing. The words was added to explain it more. But I just want you to turn to Romans 8, 1 now because it seemed good to the Holy Ghost that you hear this. Boy, I feel a peace over this place. You know, you need to hear that. You need to hear God. Are you saved, young man? You born again? So are you born again? Yes. Are you born again? You know what born again means? Are you born again? All right, we'll get you born again today. Now you know your mistake can't hold you back from Jesus. That's who Jesus is looking for, people with mistakes. And he's going to love on you today, all right? I got a witness in my spirit to ask you that. That's a word of knowledge to ask you that. You know, I knew you needed to get born again. I'll get you born again today. There's no, you don't have to go back and do no loops on all your, look back for all your sin and everything. We ain't thinking about that. You coming into the family of God this morning, and if you keep coming, I'll keep teaching you. See, that boy heard how much God loved him. Young man, I call him young man. He heard how much God loved him. He ready for God now. That's the kind of God. That's the kind of God up in this church here. Yeah. Let me tell you, he looked beyond my fault and see my need. Then he don't just look. He can do something about it. Now, that young man going to accept Christ today, he can't walk perfect tomorrow. Next day either. He got to get some more stuff on his belt. He got to be trained. He got to be loved. He ain't coming here next Sunday with no white robe on. My goodness, man. All right, why are you trying? Romans 8, yeah, I want to go from this point here. What you had on that clock at the beginning, boy? Y'all can forget that. I got too much to say. I got to go back. I know y'all are happy getting out, but we just didn't get out of it. Because I got them on 7 minutes left. That's robbery. Listen. I got to get this in you, man. Listen. They're in fear. They're in condemnation. They're condemned, caught in a deceptive trap they can't get out of. Feeling unloved and left out. Then they come to church, we preach. Yeah, you're doing all that. You ain't going to make it. Hell waiting on you. You see, with your evil self, you ought to let God turn you around. They're in fear. They are condemned. Caught in deceptive trap that they can't get out. Feeling unloved. That's something, huh? And left out. But I got a footnote under here. See, I got some things in yellow. No more condemnation. No more. That's what Jesus said at Calvary. No more condemnation. Say it. No more condemnation. Then Romans chapter 8, verse 1, beloved, there's therefore now. When is now? When is now, Marcus? Now, right? Right now. Therefore, now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Now that's why I stop off in the original translation. They add that walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. That was added, but it's actually it's a no condemnation verse. Zap! Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Now, while you're turning there, here's why the Lord worked with me on this, Leroy. The Lord, based on this verse, the Lord says, it seemed like you should understand the same ingredient you got saved by, you need to live by. We got saved by grace and try to live by law. We got saved by Calvary, by Christ, and try to live by commandment. Left grace out and tried to move on our own potential. We tried to put scriptures in the place of grace. Whoa. Try to put prayer in the place of grace, but prayer need grace to work. Scripture need grace to work. It is because of what he did, not because of what I do. You got me? Hallelujah. So, come on now, think with me. Christian don't want to think. If I'm saved by grace through faith, well, what I was saved by, I need to live by. I need to live by grace through faith. I mean, if these are the divine ingredients that heaven released to get me born again, to walk in this born again life, I have to walk in the same divine ingredient. You see the trick Satan put on the church? See, the church, he don't want you to know you're saved by grace through faith. He don't know that's what you're supposed to live by. He now take scriptures, the Old Testament, and try to make you live a New Testament life. Anytime you hear a preacher preaching condemnation, talking about hell all the time, he's preaching the commandment. He's not preaching grace. Anytime you hear a preacher preaching condemnation, he's preaching on sin all the time, who running with who and who doing what. He's not preaching the gospel of grace. He's preaching another gospel. Why do you think that young man was so able to accept me when I asked him whether he saved? He told me the truth, and I told him he was going to get saved. He just nodded his head to me. Why do you think? He says my love for him. See, religious folk can't love people because they're full of rituals. They're full of rules. They tell you, you're not good enough. Who you think you are? I almost used my word hell just now, but I'm not going to use it right now. I'm doing pretty good. I ain't going to use it right now. I won't mess the young man up, so I ain't going to use it right now. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. I told you Ephesians 2, right? Because I want to read this. Lord have mercy. Where we been? Where in the world we been? What school we went to? I even feel better. How many of y'all feel better? I even feel better. You don't live by feeling, but I feel better. I'm all this hell off of me and all this, you know, hanging on my head, fire licking at my, I feel a fire, the flame get hot. All right. Ephesians 2, verse 4. I think I get the context of this thing. Once you get the context, I might have a close on this context, but I want you to get it to get us set up here. Now remember, the same ingredient you were saved by is the same ingredient you should live by. How many got that? All right, you know now. Well, let me tell you what grace is now. Grace is unmerited favor. Unearned, it's a gift. You can't work up on grace. You can't achieve this. There's something you can't achieve. It's something you have to receive. Write that down. Because y'all trying to achieve. See, it's something you can't achieve. It's blessing you must receive. You know the difference between achieving and receiving, right? You know the difference between a reward and gift, right? You know the difference between a reward and a gift? Reward is something you have done something for. A gift is something you haven't done nothing for. Jesus Christ is a gift. Salvation is a gift. All right? See? See? And by living by the commandment, we're trying to get reward. Now, there is a reward the Bible talks about in Hebrews 11 and 6, but watch what it says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you seek him, what are you going to find? Grace. See, grace is not a doctrine. Grace is a person. When you read grace, you can praise Jesus' name now. For you say it by Jesus. For you say it by Christ. Through faith. See, that's not of yourself, but it is what? Give God. Right, let's read now. Let's read. I want to set you up now. Read now. I'm gonna read up a little further because I want you to see this, and I want you to be studying this some because we're gonna go a little further and deep in it as we study this grace lifestyle. All right, I'm gonna start at the fourth verse because it says some good things. 2 and 4. All right, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Next verse. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. Here it is now. By grace you are saved. By grace you must live. By grace you must fight. By grace you must win. By grace you must understand you can't lose. You're already walking in the fullness of God. I'll show you how to do that, right? Give me the next verse. And has raised us up together and made us sit together, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You mean to tell me? I want you to understand now you're seated. What seated mean? It's finished. Seated mean mama washing clothes, she cooking the meal, and finally come time for the pot to stop. She turned the fire on, the washing machine have stopped, and she have already vacuumed the floor, and she take her apron off and sit down. You're seated. Now, see, we got to understand that concept. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. That means that you're victorious. Seated. Say seated.
Seated.
Now, many, because of your shortcoming and your mistakes you've made in life, have been unseated in your mind. You still seated. Why are you seated? Because there's not a doggone thing you can do about it. You have to look to him. You see what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You're getting up talking about, I'm going to keep this, I'm going to do this, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? You're getting up for that. If that ain't going to get you delivered, I mean, we're supposed to do that, but they're not getting you delivered. That's got your praise on now. You're so thankful and happy that I don't have to fight my own battle. I'm seated, man. Yeah, the devil said, you ain't going to do nothing about this? No. Why I'm not going to do nothing about it? Already done. Say it's already done.
Already done.
My healing.
My
finances.
Already done.
My family joy.
Done.
Long life.
Done.
Why?
I'm seated.
In heavenly places.
In Christ Jesus.
Listen, look at Ephesians 1:3 right quick. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm already blessed.
Already got that.
I'm going to give you a term that you haven't heard before. But this morning, the Lord is turning you into a blessing magnet. A blessing. You heard that? A blessing magnet. You will attract blessing. blessings are now looking for you, for you know who you are in Christ Jesus. A blessing magnet. Just drawing blessing to me. Go to the next verse. And has, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches. What? In his kindness toward us. Now I'm going to say something. I want you, you're going to get this. Hold that voice right there. You're going to get this. And I'm going to say it in an ugly way. If you don't set your tail down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, you ain't getting this. Calm yourself down. You up saying 5 hour Father and 6 Hail Mary. Sit down and thank God I'm already delivered. And then you can have it. The reason we're not getting it, we're up running around. Let me see what service I can go to. I'm going to this church. They got a breakthrough class over here. And I'm going, sit down and take care of your family. And stop running all them church service 7 days a week. Set your crazy self down and receive from God and thank God that you're delivering. Thank God I got the victory. Yeah, if I don't go to church, I still got the victory. Thank God. Now you're ready. You got to get yourself set down. I'll knock you down. Get yourself set down. That's right. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Give me the next verse. Let me see. For by what? By the commandment. By what I do. Oh, by what Jesus has already done. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. That's not of yourself. Don't care how much you pray, how much you read, how much you confess, what good preacher you know, that it will not happen by that. It is not of yourself. It's by grace through faith. And no matter what, it doesn't matter what church you go to, you need to go to a good church. But you saved by grace, and that's not of yourself. Just like and not of yourself, the problems that you're dealing with.
My.
You can't deal with them yourself.
No.
Let grace have them. Release your faith.
That's right.
Why? Last part of the verse. Children, we've been deceived. Let me talk to you now. We've been deceived with all this preaching without grace. All this preaching without the love of God. We made some ground. God taught us some things. But I'm telling you now, with the gospel of grace, which is in Acts 20:24 and Acts 20:32, the word of grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. And grace is the unmerited favor of God. And it's already been done. Don't be afraid. I'm going to show you grace. Grace is a great teacher. It's a great restrainer. I see I got 6 minutes on the clock. I may take you that because I don't want people to think, don't understand what I'm saying. So sit down. I'm going to show you something. Next time I'll get to the reigning life. The next step should be that the same way you got saved, the same way you reign. You know what reign mean, right? Rule, regulate, dominate, take over. But I need to show this. I'm going to show this other thing because Titus, the book of Titus. I'm going to show you the other one so you can leave you with a constraint on you, a restraint on you, to know that when you understand how much God loves you, you're going to come to the point that you don't want to sin. Jesus told that woman, said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And she left with that word from God, how much kind and how much he loved her. And she went on to live right. Oh, All right, let's go. Let's go here. Tired us for a minute and I'll close. I'm going to close after this class. You get blessed? Titus chapter 2, T-I-T-U-S, because you got to be there now, because I got to have you, don't be all timid, it's Titus, T-I-T-U-S, because I want you to be seated, but we got to get this, because you got to understand this, because I'm teaching the greatest lifestyle. I want to show you in Titus, the Holy Spirit want to show us in Titus, in this text I'm about to read to you, how powerful grace really is, and now grace become your strengthener, and your teacher. Grace teaches you something. God unmerited favor teaches you something. And what he's teaching says, will you let me do this? Let me say it a little further. Will you let me do this for you? You've done all you could with scriptures, with prayer, with praise, singing song. Will you let me do this for you? The prayer, praise, and song is just to praise me, but I got to do this for you. Will you yield to me and let me do this for you? Romans 12, 1 through 3, all day long. Will you yield to me and will you let me do this for you? Will you let me get you out of this trap? Huh? Will you let me ease this pain? Will you let me get you a breakthrough in your finances? Will you let me do this? Will you let me do this my way? See? And here, this text reveals that grace is the greater teacher. Grace teach you things. Grace, thank you, Jesus. Grace teach you and enable you to do it. Now watch what I say. Grace teach you, enable you to do it, because grace enable you to receive it. You do it because you receive that is already done. I know I saw this girl. You get ready to sing that song you sung last Sunday. Y'all get ready. The choir, all y'all get together. Get ready. Get ready to sing. Y'all get up and get together on it. God is doing something in this church. You know me about? You understand me about? God is showing us how to live this life by grace, man. We've been going through too much hell. That's a different fact. I'm gonna read the scripture now, because see, people think grace is a wimp. You think you teach grace, you're teaching people to be feeble and just anything can happen. I'm gonna show you about grace. Grace is powerful. Look at right here now. You in Titus? Verse 11. You ready? Now what it says, for the grace of God. Now watch the what's the first verse, what's the first word of the 12th verse? Teaching us that what? Denying, could it be because we didn't know grace? A whole lot of ungodliness been walking in the church, because we've been trying to stop ungodliness by the commandment. We've been trying to stop ungodliness by what we do, instead of let it be stopped by what he did. Don't shout, but I don't preach in good here now. Can you see that? Something that already done, we're trying to do. You already delivered from ungodliness. But if you take another route, you'll never get where you're going. And the church never get where she's going. That's why so many pastors and preachers fall. in sin. And the man and woman, they fall in this adultery because they don't know grace. They're good people. They're going to heaven. They love God. But they're messing their life up and messing their congregation up because they won't accept the message of grace. Now, I want to get this straight right now. Joel Osteen. Talking about seeker sensitive church. Where that mess come from? Joel Osteen is a teacher of hope. He teaches the hope message. This boy here, Joseph Prince, is a teacher of the grace message. I teach prosperity. Put them all together. But we word of faith, we charismatic. We're trying to protect our ground. So we call, because Job don't preach hell and brimstone every Sunday, he's telling people, you can make it. Yeah. 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 Who in the hell don't want, yeah, you can make it. Yeah. You can make it. Yeah. 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 Hope and expectation, grace and righteousness got to be taught in the church. Yes, and these people who had the ministry locked up don't want it to come in. They fight. But they did the Apostle Paul the same thing. They fought him when he started teaching the gospel of grace, the gospel of hope, the gospel of expectation, the gospel of righteousness. Six to seven months, this church will be jam-packed. People be outside, Bob, ready to get in. Want to walk in there delivering. They know they got something, but it ain't working right. They got something. I know I got something, but I can't get this thing to function right, you know. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. You mean tell me grace? Teach me how. You mean tell me grace? Teach me to deny worldly lust? Because in the voice of grace, you hear God saying, I love you. In the voice of grace, you hear God saying, you're better than that. In the voice of grace, you hear God say, your body is my temple. In the voice of grace, that's a lie. Why so many Christians are living in sin is because they've never been told how much God loves them. They've never been told that mistake is over. Don't let Satan use it the rest of your life. It's over today. Every mistake, all of us going to heaven. Every mistake you made right here today, you better know God loves you. If you drank too much alcohol, just drink it. Every time you put a glass in your mouth, say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God love me, and just drink it on down. Get you another glass. Stop hiding. Get you another glass. Just get out in the open. Get out in the front yard. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Hey! And it's not, I mean, it sounds funny, but it's not a joke, because what they're going to do is shock you to the realness that nothing can have authority over your life, that you don't have authority over your life. I'm in authority. All grace. Thank you. Put up a sata. Yep. What grace doing? Give me a minute now. Grace is revealing your authority. If grace, look with me in the Bible. If grace tell me, is teaching me that to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, the power is there with it. Then grace teach me how I should live. Here's the grace lifestyle. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now I want to take up, because he's looking to the blessed hope. Next voice, see. Oh, Lord, I want to let these children sing, but look. Look. Wait a minute. Come on, Dad. Get it Wait a minute. Titus 2:11. Let's go back to 2:10 in the Amplified Bible. Titus 2:10, right? Yeah, I need 10. Wait a minute. Just give me a minute here. This. Not to steal by taking things of small value, but to prove themselves truly loyal and entirely reliable and faithful throughout, so that in everything they may be an ornament and due credit to the teaching, which is from above, God our Savior. The 11th verse now. For the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing, has come forward, appeared for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation for all mankind. Verse 12. It has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness. Grace did that. Grace does it. Irreligion and worldly passionate desire to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole, live in this present world. I'm going to call you in a few minutes, young man. Stand up. Everybody stand up. I'm going to call you. It's very simple. You're just going to accept Christ. That's all. It's very simple. He already paid for your salvation. Listen to this song, though. Listen to this song.